Yes. Okay. Last week's parsha, Parshas Bechukosai, the brachas, klolos, a lot of fun in Parshas Bechukosai. All the different things that it's in a way it's scary, but it's also beautiful. Parshas Bechukosai is known as a parsha for Bachrim. Now, I personally know that, just especially with my travels, the last week's travels, I understand that brachas and klolos have to do with like rules and punishments and maybe structure and different things you're allowed to do, you're not allowed to do. Bachrim don't appreciate that. That's not the kind of thing that most Bachrim like. And I was told that many, many times. So why we call that the Yeshiva Bachas Parsha? We'll call that the question of the evening. I want to ask you a question that the Rambam asks. Okay, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Tes Halach Aleph asks the following question. The pasuk talks about brachas and klolos, all different kinds of things. If you do this, if you listen to the mitzvahs, and you get this, and you get that, and you get the other thing, and if you don't, you get punished, and all kinds of different things. Factor Ram, I don't understand. How could that be? Don't we know that the kol Torah kula isn't the yisoid that if you do mitzvahs, you get schar in olam haba, and if you do averus, you get punished in olam haba, and you go to Gehenim. What are we coming and we're saying that if you do all kinds of mitzvahs, you get Hashem gives rain, and Hashem gives good food, and Hashem gives all kinds of, gives long life, and Hashem gives that you could fight your enemies. What's the pshat? Is there kasha?
No, I was just saying if good things happen to us, you get stay in
Israel.
Got it.
You
still
alive. Yeah, you still alive. Got it. Like 2 weeks late. Okay. That's the question. But not only that, there's the question is much, much deeper. We'll go to the Rambam's answer a little later on. The question is much deeper. It's not fair. Take a look at the brachas and take a look at the klolos. The brachas are around this big, and the klolos are yay long. Is that fair? Does that make sense to you? We know that Hashem is a meitiv. Hashem gives, and Hashem is nice, and Hashem wants to help. It doesn't make sense that there should be more klolos than brachas. That's not the way Hashem works. L'chara, we know that Hashem doesn't work that way. All the different klolos, it's not, and the klolos are horrible. We have ladies eating their kids and all kinds of different deaths and different sicknesses and all kinds of hardships. And what are the brachas? The brachas is you can get rain, you can have food, and people won't fight with you. There'll be shalom. It doesn't sound like it's equal. It's very lopsided, in my opinion. It's part of the Rambam's question. He doesn't ask it that way, but l'chayra that's included in the Rambam's question. I want to ask you two more questions on the beginning on the brachas of the parasha. It says one pasuk says that v'nasati gishmeichem be'itam. If you do what's right, v'nasati gishmeichem be'itam, I will give you rain in the proper time. But let's translate the words exactly how it says it. V'nasati gishmeichem, I will give you your rain. Since when do you own rain? It's not your rain. Why is it your rain? It's rain. Hashem has rain up there, and he's bringing it down. Hashem will give me rain at the right time. What does it mean, I will give you your rain? There are those that answer that if you do what you're supposed to do, so you deserve it. So if you deserve it, so it's considered yours. So the truth is, I think most of us understand that we really don't deserve anything. Hashem could do what he wants. What Hashem does is good. I don't own Hashem's reign. It's not mine. It's his. What does it mean, v'nasati gishmeichem be'ita? Question from Moshe Feinstein. Question number two, which is also a chara bomb. says, Vinasati, one of the brachas are that if you do what Hashem wants, Vinasati Mishkani Besaicham, I will put my Mishkan Besaicham inside you. And then it says, Veloy Sigal Nafshi Eschem, will translate, Veloy Sigal Nafshi Eschem, my nefesh will not be disgusted over you. And this is a bracha. Imagine someone coming over and someone saying to you, listen, you're such a great guy. I like everything you do. You know, I'm gonna give you all kinds of good stuff. And not only that, when you ask me for things, I won't be disgusted. I won't want to throw you out of my house. That's not a bracha, l'chayr. That's not a bracha. Those are the three things that we want to discuss. We want to discuss the Rambam's kasha, with the understanding that l'chayr, it seems like lopsided brachas and klalos. It's not even. Number two, what's the pshat in Moshe's kasha? What's the pshat in Vinasati Gishmei Chem? And question number three is Veloy Sig Al Nashi Eschem. What in the world is that doing by brachas? Is Hashem saying that I'm going to put my Mishkan inside of you, and then you won't be disgusted anymore? I won't be disgusted by you. That doesn't seem like a bracha. Okay. That's how the Rambam's question. So let me start with the Rambam's answer. Answers the Rambam that the purpose of this world is to be able to serve Hashem properly. Our job here is to be able to serve Hashem properly. Now, if we serve Hashem properly, we're good. Everything is great. Hashem created the world perfect. Can anyone think that for a second that maybe the world Hashem created? No, it's not perfect. Whatever Hashem created is perfect. You don't need people to change the world to make the world better. Even if they would have never invented the best amusement park with the longest roller coaster that goes upside down, we probably still would have been a perfect world, I think. And even if there wouldn't be, the great food, whatever it is, the world still would have been perfect. Hashem made a perfect world, and therefore, I have the ability to gain from it. What is the purpose of me being here? Purpose of me being here is for growing, to becoming closer to Hashem. So, everything the way it is now, if I have no disturbances, and if I would be, this is, I think, the point. If I would be the perfect guy, then the world would be perfect for me. And the only way to make the world not perfect for me is only by adding all kinds of this sickness and that sickness and people dying and all kinds of people and fights and enemies and all different things. That takes me away from being in the perfect state, from being in the perfect world. In other words, I can't serve Hashem properly. Because really what I should want to be doing is just be here serving Hashem. No, I don't need great stuff. I just need enough food. I just need peace and have no enemies. And I have to have everything that I should have and I want to have. That should technically be enough. So therefore, why are there so many crazy klolos? That's because I need those klolos. If I don't have those klolos, then I can do whatever I want. So this is stopping me from serving Hashem, that's stopping me from serving Hashem, nothing's stopping me from serving Hashem. But good, as long as everything is good, I have enough food. One of the brachas are even simple, that you won't have to eat food. You'll have to eat a little food, and you'll be full from the little food that you eat. And you don't even need to eat. You can eat once or twice a day, and that'll be enough. And then you're happy. Why don't we feel that way? That's the question. Shouldn't we feel that way? We should feel that way. Because Hashem's world is perfect. What do I need extra? Why do we feel like we need more? Why do we need extras? The answer is because we're not perfect. Now, the question is, how do we make it perfect? It was 3-4 days ago. 3 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday evening, or Thursday morning, 3 a.m., Mr. Donald Trump, together with his vice president, went out to greet three bozo North Koreans that got freed from North Korea. Okay? There's really There's not much better. You know, two of their names start with Kim, and the other guy's name is Tony or something. No. That's not okay, that's not what they said in America. Over here they have a different girsa. I don't know. But they couldn't read the English. Okay. So he comes out, he makes a whole big thing. They were talking about it before, 3 o'clock in the morning. He said that this is probably, I don't know, doesn't this be true? And I can't know personally, but he said it could be that there's never in the world been at 3 o'clock, 3 a.m., more viewers on national television. That's what the president said. Because such a big thing is happening. What happened? Three guys that were in jail for probably doing something very stupid in North Korea, they got freed in order to help Trump's peace deal, okay? This is it. Now, he said they're great men. They are great people. And we all owe them credit for everything they've done for us. Now, can I ask you, what do they do for you? I don't know what they did for me. What do they do? So because they're losers and they got caught and they got put in jail in Korea. So therefore they're great men. What are you saying? So I would like to say, what? Hey, there's no. So I would like to say I want to use this concept that we built from the Rambam right now. One of them said, and this is something that we obviously have to have a whole different look at the way of dealing with it. But the pshat is like this. One of them when it said, I don't know if you heard this part, but this is one of the things that they said. They made some kind of stop in, I don't know where. What? No. They made a stop. The plane had to refuel, and one of these guys that were in the jail for I think 3 years, and he said he hadn't seen sunlight in a very, very long time. He was in a labor camp working, and he said that I just want to. Can you let me just go off the plane so I could see sunlight? It's like well, that made the press. It made it real famous. Wow, it's amazing. Now, what's the pshat? And I want to tell you this is the pshat. Because he was in a position that he destroyed his entire, he destroyed his entire Olam Hazeh. He had nothing because he was in labor camp and he didn't see the sun and he was in a very bad position. And now, to him, just seeing the sun is, wow, it's amazing. He feels so good, he saw the sun. Everybody says, is there anything better than a cold drink of water when you're boiling hot after a good game? Is there anything that could beat it? There's nothing, because it's plain. So, and it, something that's plain and good and the way Hashem made it, that is the best. The problem is that we have all different kinds of cheshbonos. And there's so many different things, that take us away from just realizing that what Hashem made is good for us. That's what we need, and that's how it's supposed to continue. How do we get there? What does that mean? So it says as follows. It says that this parasha I saw in two svarim. One is the Avodah Salevi, and the other is in the Time of the Crow from Chaim Kanevsky. Say pshat that the reason why this parsha is laid before Shavuos, always we lay brachos before Shavuos, is because these brachos and kolos start with Shatiu Amelim B'Torah. Thank you very much. What does it mean, Shatiu Amelim B'Torah? That through Amelis B'Torah we have the ability to change our whole mitzvahs, that we could appreciate Hashem's world the way it is. We only get brachas by Amelis B'Torah. There's a whole vart on that that comes out from it. But the concept is that through Amelis B'Torah, that's how you can be able to appreciate Hashem's world, and therefore that get the bracha and not deserve the kala. I just sat down to try to be misader my thoughts in the mirror. And second sitter, I usually learn there sometimes when I'm available. And I sat down, and right on my stander there was one of these pamphlets. And let me tell you what it said. When I saw, I knew I needed a good story. Story goes as follows. They asked of Chaim Kanevsky. I have three stories over here, short ones. Okay? They asked of Chaim Kanevsky, Amelus Mesikus HaTorah. It has to do with Shavuos Mesikus HaTorah. How do you get Mesikus HaTorah? Is it possible? Question. Is it possible to have Mesikus HaTorah, enjoyment in Torah, from a present from Hashem? I always thought yes. Saying sometimes I'd rather feel that way. Sometimes when we sit down, you know, we don't really deserve Mesikus HaTorah. What did I do to enjoy Mesikus HaTorah? Sometimes we have a small glimpse of enjoyment and learning. That's a beautiful thing. I look at that as a present. But that's not obviously not what real Mesikus HaTorah is. And he said, it's impossible without two things, without Amelus HaTorah and without Yiras Shamayim. Those are two things that there's no way. They ask them all different sides. They ask, there's like 10 questions over there, all the same answer. Amelus HaTorah and Yiras Shamayim. Those are two ways you could get Mesikus HaTorah. That's one thing he said. Story number two. They told him a story about his Shver, Rabbi Yashiv. Now, it's not such an amazing story, but the concept is what I want to bring out. It was Matzah Yom Kippur, and most people are thirsty, most people are tired from a weary day, especially when it was when you're an old man, God Ladar. He sat down after he ate. He sat down from 11:45 to 6 o'clock and learned straight, nonstop. The last time he drank anything was like right after the Tinus. At 3 o'clock in the morning, they come over to him and say, Zaidi, can I give you a cup of coffee? He had a whole thing that he only drank coffee. He drank coffee when he started learning normally. He woke up usually at 2 o'clock and he drank coffee. And if it got too close to Shacharis, he wouldn't drink anymore. So 3 o'clock in the morning, they were still able to ask him for coffee. Zaidi, you want coffee? He said, and I just drank. He said, what do you mean it's 3 o'clock in the morning? Oh, it's 3 o'clock in the morning? Yeah, then I'll take a coffee. Okay? Now, there's an Edelkite over here. So they asked him, Chaim Kinevsky, what's pshat? What does that mean? Well, he didn't chop that he's thirsty. And the answer is, he said that the Torah itself, Amelus B'Torah, has the ability to change someone. And the Torah itself gave him the ability. Now, I don't think we're here. I'm trying to show you that by Amelus B'Torah, we don't understand how much we gain and how much different we'll feel towards the whole world, towards what we need. It's a different world. It's a whole different concept. Chaim Kinevsky, Rabbi Yashiv, doesn't realize that he needs a drink. I go out because maybe I need a drink. I'm not sure. It could be I'm thirsty, so I'm going to go out to get a drink. It's the total opposite. He's learning. You have to remind him he needs a drink. I forget to learn. Instead, I take a drink. It's a different world. The third story is as follows. They showed Reb Chaim a story that was printed 20 years ago from that his Rebbetzin, Allah Shalom, said over, and he read the story and he started crying. The story goes as follows. Reb Chaim asked, this has happened 20 years ago, okay? So it's not so long ago. Reb Chaim asked that whenever his Rebbetzin goes out of the house, being that whenever someone knocked on the door, she always answered the door and would say he's learning. But if she's not there, people come in and disturb him. It's disturbed his learning. So she asked, whenever you go out of the house, can you please lock the door? Then I won't be disturbed, and I'll just be able to learn. But here, it happened, for whatever reason, one time, she left the house, and she forgot to lock the door. Obviously, someone came in, and, you know, Chaim spoke to him, whatever, and when he left, Chaim locked the door. Chaim was sat and learned. Rebbetzin comes back and she starts banging on the door. He doesn't know that anyone's there. Banging. So she didn't know what to do. So she stood up. She had by a window. This is what the story says. This is what she said. By a window, she put a whole bunch of crates and she started standing by the window instead of banging on the window in order to get her husband's attention. So he heard someone banging. So he went to the door and he opened the door and she was there. Here comes the good part. And he says to his wife, "Harabanit lo nimtzet, my wife isn't home." So, and he closes the door. close the door. So she screams. She screams, Chaim, Chaim, ze ani. It's me. Chaim, it's me. I said, oh, I'm sorry. He opened the door and let her in. So he read the story and he started crying. Now, I'm trying to understand why he's crying, but I know why we should be crying. Well, we should be crying because he has the ability to enjoy. When he takes a drink of water, he can enjoy it because that makes him feel good. But we don't work that way. We have a whole different world. Now, I don't know how we could get there. I'm not going to... Maybe I have a small suggestion, a way we could start. But just to appreciate that there's a concept of really working on something. And without working, of course, you're not going to enjoy it. It's impossible to enjoy it. If there's someone that's living today that can say that story. That's crazy. Now, it's not so amazing. But for Chaim Kanevsky, it's probably much more amazing stories. But this is, it's very impressive. So, just to get back to our original questions, and maybe I'll start it just so I don't miss my last part, which I feel is it's a must. Once I got it, I feel like it's a must. The Dubna Magid asked a question. Shavuos, Kabbalah Satorah. Don't you think that Kabbalah Satorah should be together with Simchas Torah? We have Kabbalah Satorah now, and you stay up the whole night and then sleep the whole day, and then we get all excited about it like months later. Why don't we do the whole thing together? Make it all one big yontif. Get the Torah. We're excited about it. We learn it with a geshmak. No, good kasha. Fek the Dubna Magid. Answers the Dubna Magid. I want to tell you a mashal. Got it? There was a guy who didn't have any kids. He was sad. He didn't, years and years and years, didn't have any kids. So he went to the Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, give me kids. I need some kids. So he says, listen, I'll give you kids. I'll give you a bracha, you have kids. He said, one tonight, give two tonight, one tonight that we're going to say over, one tonight is you have a kid. However, I want you to know it's going to be a girl, and this girl is not allowed to be seen by a man until she's married. You hear that? A man is not allowed to see this girl until she's married. That's the tonight. You can have this child. So he says, okay, that's what you say, that's what I do. A year later, he has a girl. He has a baby. And this baby, obviously, he wasn't there for the birth because he's a man. So they sent her away in a little box to some kind of island or mountain with a bunch of ladies. So he had enough money with a bunch of ladies, and they were there taking care of her for 20 years. So he did a great job so far. But now the problem is, she's got to get married. Now who's going to marry someone they can't see? So he tried, he comes over to someone and says, like, oh, yeah, sure. Okay, but what does she look like? I don't know. They say she's good looking. I say she's smart. They say she has midos tovos and everything good. But she never saw a man. Ain't going. Try again. So anyway, he realized the dowry, you know, the cash was, he kept on raising the money until he got someone that was willing to marry his daughter with a sight unseen. It's a little bit scary. Whatever, they come in, whatever, Shalom Aleichem, whatever, how you doing? And then they get to meet each other. It was only 3 months later that this new chassan came over to the father and said, thank you so much, you gave me such a special girl. So she's so good, she's good in everything, she's so capable, she's so talented, she's so nice, she's pretty, she's everything. But I really appreciate it. Zok da Dubna Magid. That if we would have, when we accepted Torah to make a party, you don't know what it's about. You know nothing about this. You gotta accept it. You gotta just sit there, and you have to work. You have to be in the midbar, and you have to try, and it has to not make sense, and it has to be a melem b'tarei chukaisa. It has to be a chayk that you don't understand it, but you're learning anyways. You're trying. You're working. You're getting there. You're trying hard. Then, only after you work hard, only then, slowly but surely, could you appreciate the greatness of the Torah. Could you appreciate the greatness of the world that you see through the Torah? That everything is great only because you're a different person. The Torah changed you. You can't do that right away because we are born here. We don't understand the greatness of the Torah. We don't understand the greatness of the world. We can't enjoy a simple cup of water. We need a fancy steak. You need to go out for a long time because we're missing. We're not perfect, so we can't enjoy the perfect world. So, I'm really finished. I just want to finish the answer to one of the questions that I asked. And I'll tell you a verse from the Alshach. The Alshach says that the Pshat in V'loisigal Nafshi Eschem is not like the Pashas, which I would have thought. V'loisigal Nafshi Eschem, that Hashem won't be disgusted by you. If you keep the Torah, and you bring the Mishkan into your heart, and you become a Torah-dik yid, a from Geshmak, a Mishkan, a Kedusha-dik person, then V'loisigal Nafshi Eschem. He translates that nafshi, my nefesh, Hashem says, my nefesh that I put inside of you won't be disgusted from you. In other words, your nefesh will want to stay there. We know a nefesh and the guf are total opposites. Your neshama doesn't want to be with you because we do averis. So our neshama doesn't want to be with us. How are we going to get our neshama to want to be by us? If we add the amelus b'tarah, we add kedusha to us, then the neshama will want to be with us. And when neshama is together with the guf, and then that's total shlemus, it's total shalom, and that's the way to reach the greatest heights. Eddie Pinzo.